Market, advertise, and sponsor your business with Vietnam veteran Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, where information and resources are intentionally disseminated via radio, print, and social media. Call our office for more details at 312-803-2618.
Welcome, welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with Partner Service, Women Who Serve. December is AIDS Awareness and National Human Rights Month, and today is Saturday, December 12th, 2020. Our host is Cliff Kelly, and I am the co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Executive producer is Glenda Smith. Digital media producer is Manny Carazzari, and our assistant digital media producer is Al Greer. Today we have some distinguished panelists. Diana Dennis is a U.S. Army veteran and a national advocate and activist on women veterans issues and lead administrator for social media service, Women Who Serve. We also have Tamika Jackson, a U.S. Army veteran and CEO of Reinvent You. She is an LLC that trains, assists, promotes and advises veterans on and nonprofits with strategic planning and organizational development. She is a U.S. Army veteran and a clinical program coordinator and DOD mobile training consultant. She specializes in sexual assault prevention and serves on the Military Women's Coalition Sexual Violence Policy Committee. Her education includes both undergraduate and graduate degrees in psychology and business, and she's currently located in Florida. It's a pleasure to have both of you on. So, Diana, you know, maybe introduce the topic a bit. It's the impact of domestic violence and intimate partner violence on veterans, families, and communities.
Yes. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you, Colonel Arnold. And I think that one of the things that has been very, very difficult with COVID is this is a topic that nobody talks about and people don't want to deal with in regular times when everything's normal. We also have joining us today Rosie Talcy. And Rosie is a homeless advocate out of Cleveland who has been working on the consent decree that came down a number of years ago upon the death of several black people in the community in Greater Cleveland at the hands of police. And she's been working on the crisis intervention training modules for the police department and emergency responders. And domestic violence and intimate partner violence are things that, you know, people don't just normally jump up and go and decide they're going to leave a bad situation. And when everything is normal, and both Tamika and Rosie can attest to this, when everything's fine in the general world that we're working in, if you are able to connect with a social worker at your VA or in your immediate community, and when the time finally comes that you have summoned the strength to leave and you get your social worker, you run to the school, you grab your kids, it's never planned, and you go to a safe haven. That goes down the tubes when you're in a situation like a pandemic, when we have no knowledge of what is really working right now, of what's available, and this is creating massive problems across the country in every community. What I can tell you right off the top, and then I'm going to defer to Tamika, is that the number of calls on intimate partner violence, domestic violence, have dropped by over 50% in every urban area, almost across the board, nationwide. And it's because people they don't know what to do, they have no resources, and those last-minute decisions to finally decide to get out, you can't do in a lockdown. You can't get away. It's terrifying right now for our military members and our veterans in these circumstances, both men and women. People are behind the eight ball. They are between a rock and a hard place. And we've got to figure out better ways to help them. Tamika, I'd like you to jump in now because we started this issue last month. This is part two. And we wanted to get more in depth about what are some of the creative out-of-the-box things people can do to try to help folks in these situations.
Thank you so much, Diana. Well, what we have been assisting in informing people to do, if they have local churches or if they have local support groups to go to start assisting, reaching out to those nonprofit agencies that may not necessarily work with domestic violence, but they may work with victims of sexual assault, or they may have some additional resources. Because you're correct. With the pandemic, so many places have either shut down or been limiting how many people they can bring in or provide a safe haven to. So people have stopped coming in and calling. So what we have continued to do is to utilize technology, to utilize local support groups, to utilize, again, those churches, those close nonprofits in proximity, to possibly put resources in place to ensure that the children, in, if there's children involved, or the individual is safe. Because regardless of the limited resources that are available, the most important thing is to make sure that that individual feels safe. So still putting in local resources and utilizing different types of agencies to secure those services for those individuals.
And it's, and I know that, and I'd like to bring Rosie in on this. Rosie, I know you've been reading up on and being familiar with some of the changes in law enforcement to try and better get a handle on intimate partner violence.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead, Rosie.
Yes. Here in Cleveland, they use something called a danger assessment for law enforcement screening tool. They call it DALE for short. And it's an evidence-based risk assessment screening instrument where they ask someone 11 questions to figure out how at high risk they are. And domestic violence, you know, when the pandemic started, violent crime was down in April, but domestic violence calls were up. So questions they ask questions like if somebody has threatened to kill themselves or to kill you, if the person is unemployed, have they ever tried to choke you? Did they have a gun? And so if someone answers yes to mm-hmm. 7 or more of the 11 questions, then they determine that this person is deemed to be a high risk, and they handle it by a specialized high risk team. And it's a newly formed team with throughout the city that includes detectives, advocates, and prosecutors. And they now, the Cleveland Municipal Court also has a specialized docket to handle these cases.
Thank you. I think that among the things we're dealing with is none of the normal processes are there, and money has just dried up everywhere. Tamika, and I know a friend of mine in Chicago has been working with these programs. I have a friend in California doing the same thing, and one in D.C., and what they're trying to do is get their women vet communities and their male veterans, because, and I'm going to backtrack for just a second, the exact same numbers we have in the military for sexual assault and trauma of 1 out of 4 women and 1 out of 10 men are the same for domestic violence. So we are going to continue, especially in high military and high veteran population areas, to see more and more of our veterans facing these kinds of situations, and we got to figure out better ways to help them. So for Christmas this year, going through the entire holiday period, holidays are always super dangerous for intimate partner violence, especially in a year when things are just so topsy-turvy. They're trying to put together meals and options and, mm-hmm. you know, just small things, socks and shoes and gloves and hats and coats and, you know, a few gift cards here and again for families so that their stresses are reduced and they're not fearful of food insecurity right at the top of that, and warmth. at a time when we're not sure if at the end of this month millions and millions and millions of Americans are going to be booted out of their homes with the expiration of the protections for rent and mortgage expiring. So I think that every program that we can do along these lines is important. D'Amica, do you know if in how Florida is doing along these lines of putting together good packages? I know Georgia is doing it. There are several groups like Women Veterans Social Justice in Georgia that are putting those out. And Final Salute up in the DMV. And Chicago, Brigitte Letizanzi is, and I just slaughtered her name, is doing some of those things in Chicago. So I'm just trying to see if we have a feel for other places in the country and how they're doing it and how it's working in Florida. You guys have massive military.
Yes, and we actually have a lot of nonprofits assisting with those, supporting the families economically, because you're correct. If we can help to reduce some of those stressors, that will kind of assist with those emotions and that tension building in those certain individuals. So we have organizations like Hope for Veterans. We have Northeast Florida Women Veterans Center. We have the Veterans Council. They are all coming together, getting food, working with organizations like Farm Share to make sure that those families have food, trying to get grants to just give gift cards to assist with the financial stressors, because as you stated, there's so much going on with this pandemic with finances. Even when it comes to the housing situation, the state actually just released a new program, especially here in Jacksonville, to assist individuals with evictions and foreclosures. More money was able to be released. So they're trying to work with families, even reaching out to the local, your bank or whoever's your lender, and discussing with them options to try to reduce those stressors that are going on, especially during the holiday season, when people are just trying to be with their families, trying to do so much for their families. We want to try to reduce as much stress as possible, including some of the resources and things we're putting in place, going into the schools and talking to teenagers about intimate partner violence and talking to them about warning signs and relationships, starting off in the school system so that they can start to see those possible triggers and those red flags that may arise in their pending relationships or even in within their families.
Yeah, military kids very often will go to somebody in Military OneSource and say, yes, what do we do? And they don't even know who to talk to, but they're saying, I don't know what to do, my dad or my mom. Somebody's beating up somebody else in the family, and we're trying to get a handle on it. We're scared. And, you know, a lot of times military families don't want to talk about it. They don't want to engage in it because it can impact a career. But we have to look at saving people's lives, and if it's triggered by mental health issues, we need to get mental health issues addressed. So the more of those things we can do, the better. Colonel Arlo, I know that America Heroes Group is doing all kinds of stuff to try and help folks out, including that large giveaway of funds that you all worked on. What are some of the things that you see among the military groups that you're doing up in Chicago?
Yeah, you know, we actually are, you know, myself and Cliff have been, you know, actually donating some money to, you know, to the veterans out there. And also, you know, we have a box giveaway, you know, that we're doing for the holiday food boxes. And it's by Top Box. Actually, it's Chris Kennedy and, you know, Congressman Danny Davis who are, you know, supporting that initiative and trying to help veterans. But we actually, you know, you were mentioning before about the COVID. I'm really intimately involved with the COVID response with the mass vaccination team. And one of the things that we are doing, I'm, you know, sitting on the board of health with Illinois right now, and I was a former director for the Illinois Department of Public Health. And so one of the sectors that I'm focusing on is really looking at disparities and that kind of thing. And we're looking, we've had meetings with the disabilities community, which includes a lot of veterans. We also have the LGBTQ plus community that also, you know, we have that crossover with the military service that many of them perform, you know, on a regular basis and have done well as veterans and as active duty now. And we have, you know, women who are, you know, in the same boat. And, you know, when, as you were talking, I was really thinking about, you know, we have the COVID-19 going on now, and it must be even more difficult for someone to reach out. You know, because how can you feel secure in your home where you're, you know, you have to stay home and you have to be here with this person who's potentially abusing you, right? And if that person is doing that, how do you break away from that? I mean, it feels like you're even more limited in your ability to sort of reach out and speak out. And as you were talking about that, Diana, I was thinking about the numbers you were giving with the 50% decrease in, you know, calls on domestic violence. I wonder if that has some kind of influence on that, you know, and whether people are even more desperate now than they were prior to COVID-19.
Yeah, I think it does. I think that, well, I mean, one of the things that D'Amica and I had spoken about and Rosie and I had spoken about as well is what do we do on alternate housing at this point for people who are in terrifying relationships? You know, we've watched the number of shelter space has dried up. The number of safe harbor spaces have dried up. Rentals are gone. Hotels have shut down and reduced the amount of space that they're renting. We are in a terrible situation. For what do we do for the alternatives? And many of the social workers in the VA and in the general community, social services across the board, are telehealth. They're doing their appointments by telehealth. So the person who is most likely to help you. That's why it was important that D'Amica bring up the church environments and religious assistance in the community, because if all of the normal places and where the person can take you by the arm, literally put an arm around your shoulder and say, I can help you get through this, is on a computer and not in person, the motivation to get out of a seriously dangerous situation is not there because the fear factor is so high.
Yeah. And that, you know, that Dell tool that that Rosie was mentioning, you know, with, you know, greater than seven people, you know, I'm sorry, that seven questions being positive put you at high risk. You know, it seems like there's something, at least, you know, some kind of indicator, because sometimes when you're in those situations, you may not be completely aware of how this abusive relationship is affecting you, you know, and it can cause you to be depressed and, you know, react in different ways than you normally would if you were not in that kind of situation. And, you know, I'm not sure if there's a way that people can sort of, you know, reach out if there's a, you know, some type of tool they can reach out for, if there's a, you know, helpline or, you know, some website that they can go to take a look to see what's there if they feel that they need that help.
I know that people have been putting up, they put up a lot of the suicide helplines. D'Amica had provided a national domestic violence, intimate partner violence hotline last month, and unfortunately I don't have it in front of me. I thought I had it.
Yes.
And if she has that, we could repeat it. But it's we need to be able to just kind of talk about it. I guess the biggest thing for me and why we wanted to carry this on this month is because people aren't talking about this, and it needs more visibility. You know, a lot of people in sexual violence that have survived sexual violence have also survived intimate partner violence. I mean, we have a lot of crossovers. These things are not mutually exclusive.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, what advice would you, give to, a woman, or as you were mentioning, one in four women, one in 10 men, that's just an astounding number, you know, that we, you know, we have to really pay very, very close attention to. What kind of advice would you give to them, or what would you say to them, you know, letting them know that maybe there's someone there who can help them? Or, for them to, start to feel like someone cares about them. Because sometimes you can, get into that situation and feel like there's no hope or no one cares.
I would defer to D'Amica on that one.
Yeah.
I would definitely say you're not alone in this. To reach out to a friend that you trust, reach out to a church, reach out to a nonprofit. If you are able to utilize and go online, if you have that access, contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and that's 1-800-799-SAFE, which is 7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. You can call, you can chat, you can contact someone 24/7. Reach out to your local nonprofits. Get help. You are not alone in this. We prefer that you are safe and alive than to risk another day being in a situation that is unhealthy and that you don't feel safe and secure.
That's right.
Thank you so much. And Colonel Arnold and Rosie and Danica and everybody, thank you so much. I know we've run out of time for the day, but I do want to wish best holidays to everyone. And we're thrilled to partner with the American Heroes Group, Cliff Kelly and yourself, Colonel Arnold. And and we, you know, we do encourage people to talk about these issues. They're absolutely imperative. And service women who serve and the Military Women's Coalition Sexual Violence Policy Committee are all over this issue. So we still need to keep talking about it, and thank you so much for the forum to discuss it.
Oh, yeah. Well, America's Heroes Group Roundtable is really pleased and honored to partner with the women who serve. And, you know, again, that domestic violence number is 1-800-799-SAFE, and the numbers are 7233, but 1-800-799-SAFE. Because, you know, we have the COVID going on right now, but we have, you know, we have risk benefits and all those kinds of things, and it's risky for you to be in a situation that's unsafe. So I'm going to bring in now Glenda Smith, who is our executive producer, and she's going to tell us about a giveaway.
Absolutely. But first, I want to thank Diana, because she, not only are they great partners, but she writes an article in the Chicago Crusaders. Twice a month. So I just want to thank her so much for working with us and cooperating. Thanks, Diana.
Thank you, Glenda. And again, thanks to Cliff and thanks, Colonel Arnold. I appreciate all of you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, it's that time, that final announcement. We need callers to call in and receive a holiday food gift box, courtesy of Chris and Sheila Kennedy of Top Box Food and Congressman Danny Davis. Please, we need some callers. We want to give you this food. It's the holiday time for you all to have a great dinner with your family. Please call 773-591-1690 AM. Please, 773-591-1690 AM to receive a free holiday food box courtesy of the wonderful Chris and Sheila Kennedy and the fabulous Congressman Danny Davis.
Yes, and I can't take one myself because I'm part of the show.
That's true.
But I'm telling you, you all need to call in.
Please call in.
If you are a veteran, don't skip a meal now. Make sure you call in.
Absolutely.
These are some good boxes.
Yes. Regarding any questions or concerns about affordable housing, social services, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250, Chicago, Illinois, 60606. We want to thank our fabulous technical producer, Art Garza.
Yes,
Art. Smooth operator. To Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle, our print media partner, what more can we say about her? She let us every week put an article in her newspaper, and she stands side by side with us, and she does not walk away from the subject matter nor the voices that article life. So kudos to Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle and the Chicago Crusaders, our partners. Please feel free to call her and ask for a subscription to the newspaper. To all the listening audience, we really extend the holiday wishes to everyone. Have a wonderful and safe holiday. Talk to you next week.
God bless you. Keep wearing your mask, socially distance, and wash your hands, and get ready for that vaccine.
Absolutely.
It's going to be important.
Okay, thanks.
All right.